This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Good evening and welcome in to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the next generation of sports radio. Before we get underway, we've got to take time to recognize one of our premier sponsors, and that is Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Seasoned chemical service veterans, longtime industry innovators, custom chemical solutions and services. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, I am fired up to open up our program tonight. We're going to talk some college football. There are so many epic matchups in conference championships this weekend, and we've got one right here in the Big 12 Conference. We're talking about Oklahoma and TCU. So let's head up to Norman, Oklahoma right now and visit with one of my favorite guys on the planet, and that is the senior writer with OU Insider. You can also listen to him on Total Sports 10 to 2, KREF 1400 AM, the great James Hale. Hello, James.
Hey, I hope you're going to be in Arlington, because if you are, the city will be better.
Oh, listen, it is going to be a dandy of a game. So how much harder will this test be to play a team twice? Are you a little bit anxious?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because I'm not one that always believes that. But statistics does show, and maybe there's some truth to that theory, that it's hard to beat a team twice. I mean, I've had guys, as we've talked to guys on the OU roster this week, whether it's Baker or Orlando or Ovo or whoever it is, and they've admitted they've had to play a team twice. The second game has always been a tighter game. I just really never understood that, why that would be the case. If you're better, what happens the second time? Is the second time the team that lost just executes that much better and makes it a tighter game? Why can't the team that's favored execute better and make it even a wider score? So, but everybody seems to think this will be the case, but I don't get the feeling that Lincoln necessarily thinks it will. I mean, Lincoln talks about how it's, you know, they're getting ready for the game. They're approaching it differently than they did the first time they played them. Mike Stoops said the same thing. When we talked to Mike Stoops about it, he said, look, he goes, we're going to go back. We've got every single game, and we're going to go back because they play two other games now since we last played them. We're going to see if they've changed anything. What are they doing differently?
Already time for our first commercial break. We're getting you ready for the Big 12 Championship, OU and TCU on Saturday. We've got to step aside for a quick break, and we will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to hour number one at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to rejoin James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider, as we continue to preview OU-TCU in the Big 12 Championship. Well, one of the keys to the game plan, especially for Oklahoma, is they've got to get off, I would anticipate, to a fast start, because you just mentioned head coach Gary Patterson. I mean, TCU, they have nothing to lose, and they are very fired up about this opportunity. So they want to be aggressive early.
Well, they are, and Coach Patterson has not hid that fact, that he wanted another shot at OU, and he's glad to get it. I also think there's a little bad blood between Baker and Gary Patterson, and Gary Patterson really wants to beat OU, and Baker has some of his best games against TCU. But a couple of years ago, Baker was knocked out of the game with a concussion against TCU. So, you know, this has always been kind of an interesting deal. And all three games Baker's played against TCU, he's been hit pretty hard in this game, probably harder than he's been hit in any other game. So the offensive line is very aware of that. And, you know, we'll see. Gary Patterson is a great defensive coach. I think a lot of it is teaching his system to perfection as much as just coming up with wrinkles and things. But, you know, he's got a really good defense. They're a good pass-rushing team. You know, they've got – now, it's going to hurt them to lose Orr at the safety spot in the first half. And if I'm Baker, I'm going after that spot. That means expect deep routes. And OU throws deep routes anyway. So, you know, expect some passes over the middle where the safeties are involved. And, you know, I would expect that OU is going to try to attack that spot. But, you know, that is going to be interesting. But OU really wants this game, too. They realize what they're playing for, what's on the line, what they've got to do to go get it, Ian. Boy, they're going to play hard. I think OU's ready to go.
Oklahoma, as I understand, is favored in this game, but the Frogs, they are very capable of pulling off an upset. How dangerous, when you look at TCU and you start looking at the numbers and everything and how they have played, how dangerous is this team?
Well, they're dangerous because they are, I think, I thought maybe Oklahoma State was the second best team in the league. Offensively, they certainly are. And
okay.
In some ways, some may say the OSU is the better offensive team. But the most complete team is outside of Oklahoma's TCU. So these are the two best teams that are playing in this game. So they're capable of winning. You know, you mentioned that Oklahoma needs to get off to a good start. Well, that's exactly what TCU needs to do. If TCU has to come from behind, they're not really – they're better than some, but they're not as good as OU coming from behind. And if they can get out and get in front, get OU a little bit antsy, maybe force OU into a play they usually don't make. OU had turned it over in three games. Force Baker Mayfield into a couple of bad decisions. If you get into that kind of situation, maybe, then you can get Oklahoma maybe left to center and a little out of kilter. And, you know, maybe you have a fighting chance. But if you let OU put 14 on them quick,
mm-hmm.
TCU does, and OU gets up 17-3 or 21-7. Yeah, they're going to win this game easy. And so the first quarter, the first half is going to be interesting to watch for TCU.
OU TCU Saturday, 12:30 kickoff at AT&T Stadium. James Hale, he is going to be there. He is the senior writer with OU Insider and host of Total Sports. 10-2 Monday through Friday on KREF 1400 AM in Norman, Oklahoma. It's interesting how the Big 12 college football season, how it's played out, because what if last year's rules applied, Oklahoma would have already been in the college football playoff. They have an 11-1 record, and they would be the Big 12 champs.
Yeah, if the committee would put them in there. I don't think the committee really likes OU as much as they like some other teams.
Really? Okay.
Enough to have them third right mm-hmm. now. Well, they've got one loss. Auburn has two. Oklahoma, why is Clemson rated ahead of Oklahoma? They both have one losses. Oklahoma's got some really impressive wins, too, on the road. Probably no team has bigger wins than OU on the road. And yet they're third, and they've admitted, they always talk about Oklahoma's prolific offense, and they usually say something like, well, it's a developing defense, or it's a defense that's getting better. But you can tell they really don't like how OU plays. OU realizes they're an offensive front team this year. They realize that they've got a great offense and their defense is coming on. But they also realize their defense has played outstanding defense at times in every single game they played, where they might give up a lot in the first half, but they come back in the second half to totally shut down a team. Or they might give up a lot of run in the first half and then that team rushes for 15 yards. Like West Virginia did last week in the second half. So the defense is growing. It doesn't quite have the fangs or the mean streak to be great from start to finish, but their offense does. And the offense is, there's only been one game the offense hasn't been able to overcome everything, and that was Iowa State. Yet they had a pretty good day. It's just they needed one more touchdown or they needed one more opportunity, and they weren't able to come up with it on that day. And that's the only knock against OU. Could they get into that spot where their offense might put 38 on the board, but do they need 45? And, that's what their defense has to try to hold up against. And you can tell the committee believes that. But Oklahoma's going to tell you, this is how we're playing this year. This is how we're winning games. And we're very good at it, and we can win games this way. And so we'll find out if they can in the postseason.
James, you have mentioned several times Oklahoma's quarterback in Baker Mayfield, and obviously he's in a great position to win the Heisman this year. Help all of us as listeners, as fans, understand his personality. And, he was sidelined for, two plays for some inappropriate sideline actions. Just kind of give us some insight and so that we understand who he is.
Well, I think Baker, nationally, if you don't really know him, he's going to be a confusing guy to you. You're going to know about the antics, the spirit. You're going to see some of the things you're going to say. You're not going to like that. If you know him like I do, though, you're going to realize he's a wonderful guy. I mean, absolutely a true jewel to cover. he is a real guy.
Mm-hmm.
He does not give you coach speak. He laughs at himself. He'll tell a joke. He'll laugh at your joke. He will talk football with you. If you see him at Charleston's or one of the restaurants around town, you know, and you know him, he'll say hi to you. And it won't just be a token hello. He'll talk to you. You know, he knows what kind of car I drive. I make fun of his truck, you know, because I'm going, hey, when you become a quarterback, he goes, I'm still driving this truck. I said, no, you won't. You'll drive a, you know, you're going to drive a Mercedes or something. He goes, no, I'm not. So anyway, we have that going back and forth. He's a wonderful guy. I'm going to miss him. We're going to miss him in the media around here. He's a great guy that I would love for my family to get to know. His family's a great guy, and I also want him in my foxhole. He is a competitor. That competitive nature has got him into a bind a couple of times. And, of course, we know what happened in Arkansas. So what does that mean? Well, he's a real student athlete that goes to college. And every once in a while, you make a mistake in college. And he did in that case. But I'll tell you what, OU would take him back every single year if they could, realizing what he is totally, and they'll take the great good that you get with the little bad that you get, because there's no better player in the country that you want on your team than Baker Mayfield.
Great way to kick off our show tonight. James Hale, the senior writer with OU Insider. Check him out online. Also, you can tune him in. Total Sports, 10 to 2 in Norman, Oklahoma. Got 30 seconds. So are you going to call it Baker Mayfield? He's going to win the 2017 Heisman Trophy?
He's going to blow it away.
Really?
He's
okay.
Win a landslide.
That's exciting. James, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks, E. Have a great day. And hey, change your plans. Come to Arlington.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way right here. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview and segment, we've got to take time to recognize one of our premier sponsors, and that is Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Seasoned chemical service veterans, longtime industry innovators. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, I'll tell you what, tonight we have covered a ton of college football. Looking so forward to many of the conference championships on Saturday. We are going to hit on some NFL right now, and we're thrilled to have back with us to talk about a number of subjects in marketing and personal brands. And that is the CEO of Block 6 Analytics, Mr. Adam Grossman. Welcome back, Adam. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I hope you had a good one as well.
Absolutely. Well, we always enjoy your blogs and your posts and catching up on that and your perspective. We're going to highlight some of those tonight. But first and foremost, one of the biggest storylines in the NFL this season has been how the ratings continue to drop. They continue to fall. You're an analytics guru. So give us your thoughts on why you think viewership is down and how much blame points towards the national anthem protests.
Yeah, this is a very good question. So I think there's a little more, you know, panic, so to speak, than maybe the evidence warrants. The NFL is still the top-rated program. Sunday Night Football is still a top-rated program. There's generally a move away from linear television, but even, and when I say linear television, that's typically like television that comes to your TV as opposed to like accessing it on your phone or accessing it on a mobile device, or accessing it in a digital way. So actually, those ratings, the vast majority of television view, or the vast majority of the games are viewed on television, and actually millennials are more likely to view content on television than people originally thought. They are still moving into mobile devices. So yes, there definitely is a decline in ratings, but I think the ratings are a little bit, it's a little a boy cried wolf kind of situation at the moment. But what I do think is driving the ratings down, I do think that there is, you know, one of the things that drove the ratings down last year was the presidential election and the presidential debate. So, obviously none of that has gone down, or there's still a lot of controversy whether coming from our current president. So that also is taking highlights away. But also going back to your original question about the flag, I think there has been a hit on the flag has taken a hit from what we can tell on ratings. So our company has a platform called the Social Sentiment Analysis Platform, where we look at conversation in social media to see how positive or negative the conversation is. And typically the NFL or often the NFL outperforms the NBA or Major League Baseball, and we have seen that be less and less the case. So there's still a positive sentiment, but the year-over-year sentiment and how it compares to other sports is down, and that's across the board, so it's not necessarily totally based on wins and losses. So we are, our hypothesis is that the flag controversy has had some impact on that, but you know, how much of it is based on other larger trends and how much of it is on the flag is still debatable.
The CEO of Block 6 Analytics, that is Adam Grossman, back with us at SB Nation, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And here we are, Adam, we're coming off the Thanksgiving holiday. And, you know, some of the reports that we're hearing, you know, the ratings took a hit on Monday Night Football and the Thanksgiving viewership was down. It hit a new season low. So I guess let's talk about solutions. I mean, when will this stop? Because it seems like, yes, the reviews are mixed. It's coming, you know, the ratings are being impacted in a couple of areas. But it seems like the fans are sending a strong message about this, the protest, and just wanting the players to get back to football.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to that. Now, one of the things with the Thanksgiving ratings is last year, the Redskins-Cowboys game actually had the highest rated regular season game on Thanksgiving in a very long period of time.
Okay.
So that artificially, I think, put the ratings a little higher than they normally would be. So that's, again, where people, you know, a little boy cried wolf kind of situation where people are saying, well, the ratings are down.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yes, it was one of the highest rated regular season games of all time happened on Thanksgiving last year. But in terms of the larger question is, you know, in terms of solutions, you know, and the NFL is exploring these types of solutions is, you know, the vast majority, like I said, of consumption is still on regular television, but that doesn't mean that's always how it's going to change. And what we'll need to see is not just television ratings, but ratings, you know, across multiple different platforms. Amazon doesn't necessarily have to release, you know, Amazon broadcasts Thursday night football games. They don't necessarily have to release any kind of ratings information. So especially as more and more people potentially move to where, to these channels, whether it's Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, you know, any kind of social media or a content channel, we're going to have to get that information as well to make a fair comparison. And what I think, and one of the things that we've talked about, I think, before, is that the Amazon solution is actually go, instead of bringing people to a place where they can only passively consume content, where sponsorship and potentially increasing ratings, if people are going to Amazon anyway, whether it's through their Prime account or just to shop, and they see that the NFL games are on, it could increase the likelihood of them watching it. And also from a sponsorship and advertising perspective, it makes it much easier for people to sell products because you don't have to go anywhere, right? You're already on Amazon. You see a product for an ad or you see a product integration for Gatorade or some other sponsor that's typical of the NFL, and then you can buy the product from there. So I think the NFL, rather than being passive and waiting for people to come back to the television set, you know, going where people are, whether that's in bars or on phones or on mobile devices, that's where the NFL will increase its overall viewership.
Do you think the NFL overall perhaps just needs a reboot? You know, a lot of talk about the contract extension for the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely a part to that. The NFL has definitely taken some hits, both deservedly and undeservedly, from a PR perspective. So, yes, I do think that the more that people can focus on the games themselves, typically the better the NFL does. So whether it's, and again, the contract extension with Roger Goodell also has not been reported totally accurately. You know, he can make up to $200 million, but that's only if the NFL meets certain incentives. So if the league, he only does well in a large part when the league does well. And combining that, obviously, with all the, you know, other issues that have gone on in the league that happen off the field, it's definitely taken a hit on the, on the NFL, and the NFL realizes that, which is part of the reason that they've met with players and tried to address the situation. And although that's obviously, that's taken a little bit of an interesting turn recently, but in terms of who actually represents the players' interest at this moment in time. But the larger idea and the larger thing that you're saying is correct. There's certainly been a hit, and it's certainly impacted the perception of the league, which ultimately impacts the ratings. It's more a question of, are these structural issues where the NFL is always going to have these types of problems, or are these more kind of one-off issues where, you know, the NFL can see that there are issues, but they can take steps to address it. And I think there are definitely structural issues, but I think the issues that people are focused on right now are more one-off issues.
Did you see the reaction from Bob Costas, the NFL and the future of football, where he talked about just, you know, the future for the NFL, it's bleak and it destroys people's brains. So he said those were his own individual opinions, but
Yeah, so that's a good point. That's probably the issue that should be getting more attention,
yeah.
Is the health and safety of players. And the NFL, to its credit, after a slow start, has tried to put more emphasis on that. But that is a huge structural issue that could impact the NFL. And the fact that, you know, we talk a little bit about this in my book, The Sports Strategist, but that's kind of what happened with boxing, right? People just, boxing is still a very, you know, still a popular sport, but at, you know, in the early part of the 20th century, in the middle part of the 20th century, and arguably through the 1980s, it was one of the most popular sports in America. And the violence in the sport and seeing people, you know, having to deal with issues that come from being a boxer has really been one of the key reasons that boxing has declined in popularity. Now, the NFL could follow the same path. I think the NFL is much more aware of the issue and is taking more steps to address it. And even now, again, the NFL is still, you know, on many metrics, the most popular sport in America. But that is that's exactly right. That's a systemic issue that really could make that really is something that the NFL really should be focusing on. And it is focusing on spending a large part of
that. Yeah, that's one of the biggest obstacles that they've got to overcome. Hey, Adam Grossman, we love when he's on the program. Adam Grossman, CEO of Block 6 Analytics, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Let's pause. Adam, connect with our audience. Where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find us at block6analytics.com, on Twitter at block6analytics, and on Facebook, block6analytics.
Okay, so let's take a hard right turn. Let's talk about one of your recent posts and blogs on, oh my gosh, this has been an exciting November, Cyber Monday, the largest online sales day in history. What did you want all of us to know?
Well, one, just that, right? That there was a larger Cyber Monday was the largest largest online sales day, particularly from a Cyber Monday perspective, in the history of history, merchandise and marketing. So that's a big thing. But the second thing is on the mobile devices. And again, this goes into what we were just talking about, is that people are consuming content on mobile devices. I mean, you know, and everybody knows that they can't leave without connecting, you know, looking at their phone, whether it's for, you know, looking at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, looking at text messages, looking on online, surfing the net. You know, a large part, increasing number of hours are spent with the phone, yet purchasing hadn't followed that consumption pattern. So people weren't necessarily purchasing products on mobile devices, even though they were spending more and more time on mobile devices. One of the big changes and one of the big things that was we talked about, and also Adobe, who created the original report, talked about, is that this saw a significant increase in people making mobile purchases, which is really important for our world, for sports sponsorship. One is that most of social media content is consumed on mobile devices. And two, you want to make as short of a customer journey as possible for a customer to make a purchase. In particular, if you're looking at something on social media and you're willing to buy something on the phone, which is becoming more and more likely, then you don't have to go on a computer, you don't have to go to a website, you don't have to go in the store. It makes the customer buying process so much easier. So going where people are and actually people buying stuff where they are is a really big development for retailers across the country.
And you see this trend continuing, Adam, where sports teams will be taking advantage of this and marketing their merchandise.
Absolutely. So both from a merchandise, a sponsorship perspective, one of the previous posts we talked about, the Orlando Magic, who have instituted through the Orlando Magic app, you actually can, if you're not going to use your season tickets, you can exchange your season tickets for Magic money. Which allows you to use that money in the future and allows the team to resell those tickets. And ticket upgrades and ticket purchasing on mobile devices is becoming increasingly important, not just for the teams, but for the fans. You know, fans want to be able to exchange tickets and be able to really, you know, make, instead of having a static paper ticket, being able to do what they need to do with the ticket, whether it's share it with their friends or sell it, you know, resell it in the reseller market. In particular, the NBA would prefer that you use the preferred reseller market of the NBA, in this case, for a lot of teams, is StubHub. But the idea here is the more that activity happens on mobile devices, the more you want purchasing to happen on mobile devices, and that's becoming increasingly the case.
Hey, Adam Grossman's been with us, the CEO of Block 6 Analytics. Always a true pleasure. Informative, great stuff. And Adam, we'll talk to you probably in the new year coming up.
Yeah, have a great holiday and Happy New Year, and thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. And before we get underway with our next segment, we've got to take time to recognize one of our premier sponsors, and that is Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Seasoned chemical service veterans, longtime industry innovators, custom chemical solutions and services. They are no stranger to every major Texas energy play. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, as promised, it is time to completely shift gears. We've been talking a lot of college football, and right now we're going to talk some college basketball. And right here in the Big 12 Conference. So let's head up to Fort Worth and visit with the TCU head men's basketball coach. And that is Jamie Dixon, whose Frogs are coming off a very nice win against Belmont at home on Wednesday night. They are currently 7-0 and the 23rd ranked team in the country. Always a true honor. Welcome in, Jamie.
Oh, good. Thank you, B. It's good to be here. It was a good win for us. Belmont's good, dangerous. Expect to see them in the NCAA tournament. So, we jumped on them early. I wish we could have sustained it for 40 minutes, but that's a hard do against a good ball club. And we'll get ready for Yale now going forward.
Well, the Frogs are all about winning. As I just mentioned, 7-0 and ranked 23rd in the country and coming off that 10-point win. Coach, talk to me about what has been the keys to this early season success.
Well, we've got some experience back. We've got our six returning scorers from last year, top ones. And it's allowed us to be pretty good offensively. Improvement defensively over the last couple games has helped. Really, we've had five home games, so you got to win those. We had a couple nice wins in the conference and the tournament in Destin. So, we expected it. It's where we should be, to be honest with you. I mean, that's what we felt going into it. I thought our defense would be a little better early, but it's taking some time. And as we go forward here, we've got to guard the dribble a little better and continue to score the ball without turning it over on the offense, man.
You know, Coach, you talk about the experience, and it really has been just a continuation of last year's success with the big crescendo, winning the NIT, and you won your last, your final five games and had the ultimate finish. So what I'm hearing you say is this is, you know, the expectations coming into the season, this is where you thought you would be, right?
Oh, I mean, you know, you got to win your home games in the non-conference, and you got to take care of business. We had we've passed the ball well. We've had some issues with turning the ball over, and that's the biggest thing. And we had some injuries that kind of slowed us down a little bit early. But we're good, but we need to get better. We understand that, and I think the schedule gets tougher here with Saturday's game against Yale, and then going to play SMU on the following weekend.
Okay, you're listening to The Voice. Jamie Dixon, TCU head men's basketball coach tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at E Radio Sports, and you can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. Okay, so here the Frogs are. They are a ranked team, and you guys have really embraced these expectations. And I think what's impressive is, you know, Jamie, your team is handling the return to the rankings very, very well. So as a leader, as the head coach, what is the key to managing expectations and helping your team stay focused on the task at hand so they don't get distracted?
Well, you know, I think the success last year, winning at the end and winning some games on the road, winning neutral court games was good for us. It's a new thing for us. I think in some degree we felt a little underappreciated because returning our top six scorers and winning the NIT last year would generally have you ranked maybe higher.
Yeah.
But I guess given our history and given that we haven't been a ranked team, I think people were waiting to see you a little bit more. So we're there. We haven't done enough to really warrant big attention, but we've taken care of business. We've gotten better as the season's gone on, and with that, we've got to develop some other guys and get our rotation going a little bit better too. So there's work to be done. There's things to do, I don't think we feel like we played our best basketball, so that's a good thing.
Well, last year, 24 wins as a recap, and that was, what, a 12-win improvement, the second most in school history. Help us understand your approach, your philosophy, because, you know, not many programs have such a dramatic, you know, stride out in such a short period of time. How have you been able to do it? You've got the Midas touch, Coach.
Oh, I don't know. We had some good players. There, a couple guys sitting out. We brought in the right guys late. That helped a lot. So it gave us a pretty good depth. Some injuries slowed us down. But as we went, the young guys got better. And we got some really good senior leadership, maybe as far as energy, enthusiasm, excitement. You know, but their numbers may not have shown a lot, but they gave us valuable minutes, valuable energy. And so that was a good thing to start with. But we've got some good players in place. And I think we're still looking now as to really we got to get a signature win this year to get going here. And Kansas was that last year late in the year that got us going and into the NIT. But something here against another ranked team would be a good start, and we've got some opportunities coming up as the year goes on.
Well, offensively, the Frogs, you guys have a lot of options, but we got to brag on your big guy, 6'11 senior Vladimir Brodzinski, who, I tell you, I absolutely loved watching him on Wednesday night. He got hot and was stroking it, those walk-up threes. I mean, you got to love his versatility, and I just have to wonder, how will that translate going to the next level? It looks like he's got a bright future.
Well, you know, the good thing about those threes is, you know, he's a good shooter. He can shoot the three, but he's realized to be consistent and to be effective and valuable for us, he needs to score around the basket. We need an inside presence, so he's been doing that. But yet, when the time was available and the way they were defending, they were icing some ball screens, he was able to pop to the top of the key and get some open looks and knock them down. So he's got 3-point range. He won't shoot a lot this year, but can and will. But again, he shoots a high percentage. He's gotten better defensively, which has been the biggest help for us going forward, because he was struggling last year defensively. So he's guarding on the perimeter some, a lot better than last year, and he's done a great job really with our team defense and guarding ball screens. And so, you know, that's going to serve us well going to the next level. I think he has the opportunity. NBA teams are looking at him. They're well aware of him. He's an all Big 12 preseason pick, so people know who he is. He's just got to be a better player than last year. That's what he's doing right now, and continue to progress as the year goes on. But they like big guys who can shoot.
Oh yeah,
he's become a little bit more skilled as far as a passer, and that will be helpful going forward. But he's got to rebound too at a higher rate, I think, as well.
Okay, defense and rebounding, that obviously was the focus in the offseason. I want to hear a little bit about that big trip to Australia. But what about getting stronger? Was that a point of emphasis for him in the offseason, Coach?
Oh, yeah, that's been since the day we've got here. You know, he's one of those big kids that it's got to fill out as they get older. And, you know, it's been a process, but he's gotten there. And just playing more physical. I mean, finishing around the basket, that was the biggest struggles for him last year. So I think footwork has helped in that. I think keeping the ball up. I mean, little things that, you know, you big guys need to improve on generally. And he's worked at it. He puts the time in. He does extra lifting. He does extra work in the gym. And all that stuff's paying off. He's a hard worker in the classroom. He's an academic all-conference guy. So a well-rounded kid who you know, has been a well-liked kid on campus too as well. So it's really been fun to see his progress and fun to see him grow as a person as well, because he's a lot more engaging and outgoing on campus as well as around the team. And it's just good to see it. You see these big guys, and once in a while they grow up a little bit later than me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In their size.
Hey, Jamie Dixon with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, TCU head men's basketball coach. And right now, hey, we got to talk about my son's favorite player, and that is your point guard in Jalen Fisher. Last time you were on the program, we were talking about the fact, you know, that he broke his wrist and he sustained that injury in the opener at the NIT, and he was out the remainder of the season. Talk to us tonight about what has he shown you? What has he delivered early on in the season? Because he tore his meniscus this summer, kind of what a freak injury, and he did not have the opportunity to travel with you guys when you went to Australia.
Yeah, I tore it right before we left. So
what a bummer.
Really, you know, when you add it all up, 18 weeks he's missed of practice out of about our last, you know, 21 of workouts. So, you know, it's taken some time, even the start of this season. He's not where he needs to be, and we need to get used to playing with him again too, to be honest. So there's been some adjustments, but he's gotten better each time out, I think, in this season and in the games he's been back, because he just got back the day our game started. So missed a lot of practice, obviously, and he's gotten better for us defensively. I think that's a good sign for him. I struggled with that last year, and so going forward here, I think he's when he plays, when he's on the floor, he can get better. When he's not on the floor, hard to improve. So we got to keep him out there, keep him practicing, and keep him developing.
We have talked a lot about the experience that you return in Jalen and also Vladimir, but what about some of the newcomers that are on board? What kind of impact will they be able to provide for you?
I'm sorry?
Tell us about some of the newcomers that have... Yes.
And... Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we're playing those six guys. Kawhi Noy gets a newcomer on paper, but he was with us last year. We saw him practice with us every day. So, he's kind of a returning guy. But for fans and people watching, he's new. He's given us a little more flexibility as a four-man. He can drive it. He can shoot it. He's good around the basket. And so that's been good. That guy's got to keep getting better for us defensively. Amedy's been really good for us. He's a fifth-year guy, Virginia Commonwealth, who gives us a nice counter when we bring him in for Vlad, so we get scoring out of there and some rebounding. He's played well. He's doing, he's improving defensively and getting used to our system. But he gives us the rebounding, physicality. So really, those are the main guys. We've got a couple of guards that are getting some minutes too, and Sean Olden and RJ Nembhard's had a few injuries. But it gives us I think, in all, we've got good depth. We're just having 10 guys really, sometimes 9, but it's a good balance and a good. We could have any of those 9 really lead us in scoring, especially 8 of them really that could lead us in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, but at the same time, we've got to understand that there's going to be some games where you may not be in the top of that column in the scoring. And so we've got to understand that and play and rebound and defend and do the things necessary without getting some shots or getting some scoring at the same time.
Big 12 men's basketball continues with TCU head men's basketball coach Jamie Dixon after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, right here in hour number one. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and right now we are going to rejoin TCU head men's basketball coach Jamie Dixon. Jamie, last year was your inaugural season as the head coach at TCU, crossing over from Pittsburgh. Spent a lot of time in the ACC, the Big East Conference. How different is the personality of the Big 12 Conference? What was the biggest adjustment with some of the teams that you faced?
Well, with being in those big conferences, and when I say big, just pure numbers, and 16 teams in the Big East, and then 15 in the ACC, and some changes in that as we went on, I think it's more a familiarity with just having 10 teams and playing every team twice. That was really the biggest change. You knew you were going to play them home and home, the balanced schedule, the Wednesday generally and the Saturday games. Those things seem minor, but really it was really the biggest difference, biggest change. And then probably top to bottom, the strength of the Big 12 being even stronger than the two previous great conferences that I was in. I mean, no bad team. I said whenever Texas and Oklahoma are ninth and tenth in your league, you got a pretty good league, and that was the case last year. It won't be the case this year, but that was the case last year as we played it out. But I love the league. It's fun. I just love that you're going to have a balanced schedule.
Yeah.
You play everybody once at home, once on the road. And that goes a long way as far as a coach. Maybe fans don't see it as much, but a balanced schedule, same thing we got with football. It provides at least a little comfort that the best team is probably going to end up winning the conference. And that's not always the case with the unbalanced schedules. It's rarely the case with unbalanced schedules in other conferences, in both basketball and football.
Hey, our time is winding down. I got to ask you this, since we're talking about the Big 12 conference play. It'll be here before you know it. Who can keep Kansas from that record 14th straight title?
Well, it's I think that balanced schedule, the home and home, has been one reason why the best team has always won in this conference, and that's been Kansas. I mean, there's been no doubt about it. But we believe we can this year. But you know, I think 14 years, probably a lot of teams have believed it. Only Kansas has done it. So we'll see how it plays out. So, but it'll be a fun run and exciting conference and a high, high level of play going in the Big 12 this year.
TCU head men's basketball coach Jamie Dixon been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I know, Jamie, you are very excited about this weekend. OU TCU in that Big 12 championship game. I have to tell you, I'm a proud Sooner, but I'm feeling some anxiety. I think it's going to be just an epic matchup.
It's going to be great. We moved our game back to 7 o'clock.
Did you? Okay.
So we can get the fans over there and hopefully come back with a win and celebrate in our arena at the 7 o'clock during our game. So that's the plan. You know, everything has to work out the right way, though. So I'm sure some other teams are going to have some say in that. But that's our plan going forward here.
Well, good luck on Saturday, and thanks so much for dropping by. We appreciate it, Coach.
All right. Thank you. Have a great one.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and join us online at Twitter at E Radio Sports. We will be right back.